The following is an unrehearsed interview with Senator Chuck Grassley of Iowa. Joining today's program are Aaron Summers of the Pocahontas Record Democrat and Mark Pitts of KCHA Radio in Charles City. Aaron, you can start us off with a question for Senator Grassley.
Thank you. Happy New Year, Senator. And I wondered if you might talk about, you know, in this new year, what are the top one or two pieces of legislation you'd like to see Congress pass for the year?
Well, if I could brag about what I'm trying to promote, first of all, as a lead sponsor of the Grassley-Wyden bill, a bipartisan bill, getting prescription drug prices down, and then the lead co-sponsor of the Grassley-Fisher bill, of which has two Democrat co-sponsors, Wyden and Tester, to get a fair price for cattle producers in Iowa and get a certain day when they can market. And then with Senator Durbin, another bipartisan bill, to get some build on criminal justice reform of the bill that he and I got signed by President Trump 3 years ago. But generally speaking, my job is to do more than just those three things I gave you, so I'll kind of sum it up by saying my job is to work hard for Iowans, and I've got a lot to do for Iowans in 2022. Mark.
Senator, thanks for having us again here today. Last week you put out a statement about being alerting people to be aware of natural disaster scams. Of course, December 15th will kind of live in infamy, I guess, for Iowans with the serial derecho. I just wanted to get an update from you on how the government can help with the recovery efforts, especially for places like Rudd here in North Iowa, where they lost their library and the Historical Society Museum.
Well, most of this is going to be done through state attorneys generals, and most state attorney generals have a consumer protection person or people on their staff. And if somebody thinks that there's an outrageous price, in Iowa, they ought to call up the Iowa Attorney General, Tom Miller, and report it, and then let them do the investigation. But you can count on all the time, I suppose right now in Kentucky, they've got these problems coming because they've had, in 4 weekends, they've had 2 weekends of terrible natural disasters. And they ought to do it. Then in addition, from the federal level, and this goes beyond what you were talking about, people being scammed, but I'm here to help with federal assistance if they qualify. And I think when I called the mayor of Rudd, we left a voicemail, and I told him to get a hold of me here in Washington, D.C., or to get a hold of my Waterloo office if they need any help. I did the same thing for natural disasters the same weekend Green County, Jefferson, Iowa, and then Neola, I think it was, or Malvern, one of those two towns in Pottawatomie County. And then I think there was a couple others that we tried to get a hold of and couldn't. So that deals more with the federal assistance. That doesn't deal so much with the scamming that you were asking me about. Now let's go back to Aaron.
Thank you. How likely do you think it is that the OSHA vaccine mandate will stand up in court as it gets litigated? We've had several of our area boards of supervisors talking about how to implement their vaccine or testing requirements here, and I just wondered if you had some advice for folks as they're putting those in place.
Well, it's speculation. I can tell you what I hope. I hope they'll say that they'll say that the president doesn't have the authority to do that. And I'll equate that with a vote I cast about 3 weeks ago in the United States Senate when we voted 52-48, I think it was, to overturn the president's rule that's now on appeal to the Supreme Court. Now, that's got to go through the House of Representatives, and if it doesn't go through the House of Representatives, then that vote doesn't do any good. It doesn't stop the president from doing what he's trying to do. But if the Supreme Court says he doesn't have the authority, he doesn't have the authority. Now, I suppose, I don't know what the state law is or whether the Iowa Constitution allows this, but it could be that if you want to consider the county government, they could require their employees to do it. I advise people to get vaccinated. I am. I think it keeps you from serious illness, keeps you out of the hospital, and helps you through it. But I don't think that government should be telling people, violating people's freedom on that issue. Let's go to Iowa City.
Senator Grassley, another COVID-related, in some regards, question. We hear a lot about the shortage of healthcare workers given the pandemic. And another shortage that's really hitting especially rural district school districts hard is the shortage of substitute teachers here in Charles City. They, at one time, they said through the start of the school year through December 1st, they had like 378 different instances where they were short of substitute teachers to fill a role. What kind of things can be done about that?
Well, I'm not sure we'd want to do this in Iowa, but I read in one state, one school district, and they must have had the authority to do this, they were taking school bus drivers and janitors to fill in where you couldn't have a teacher, prepared teacher, certified teacher, to do the job. Now, I can't see those people maybe being much more than maybe just following a teacher's plans for that day. Or maybe they just are going to serve the role of keeping peace and order in the classroom. I don't know what it could do, because that's very unusual, and I'm not advising Floyd County schools to do that. And I think that they need to contact the Department of Education in Des Moines and ask the director of Iowa Education what authority they have maybe to hire people that maybe don't have all the qualifications to be teachers. But that's just, I don't know what Iowa law permits, so I can't give you a more definitive answer. Back to Aaron.
It's been nearly a year since the incidents on January 6th, and I'm just curious if things have changed, you know, just in how members of Congress are relating with each other, or is there still additional security measures in place that you're allowed to talk about? I don't just what has changed in the last year? Like, how did that change, or did it not change, how Congress is able to do its regular business over the course of the last year?
Well, the way that Congress works hasn't changed since January 6th, but the news media would make you think otherwise. I can tell you it wasn't a very easy day for those of us that are elected officials and our staff. It's a very trying day, and hopefully it never happens again. Charles City?
Senator, the 2022 Iowa legislative session starts next Monday. I'm just kind of curious as to how closely you watch those proceedings over the course of the next few months, kind of what your monitoring process is.
Okay, pretty remote. One day during every session, I visit the House and Senate, and you might say I visit the House because my grandson is Speaker of the Iowa House, but I've been doing this for decades, trying to visit the legislature and visit with individual legislators. and sometimes I speak to the Republican caucus in the House and Senate, and I try to do that. I'm going to try to do that this year. And then the other ways I follow it is by obviously talking to my own representative and senator, and then also by through news reports. In fact, most of it is through news reports. And I can't follow it on a very full-time basis, but whenever I get a chance to read about it, I usually read about it. And I know that they have a full agenda, and I'd expect them to have a full agenda. And they want to do something that I've tried to do here at the federal level. They want to lower their taxes. And they've handled the state budget in a responsible way, so they build up such a surplus. And I think most of the Republicans believe that you shouldn't overtax people, and when you do overtax people, you ought to give them back their money. Back to Aaron.
Thank you. I know that one of the big conversations in the last few months, and I think it will be a big conversation coming up, is discussions about voting rights and a voting rights bill at, in Congress. What are some voting reforms, voting law reforms, that you would be in support of, if any?
Well, usually for 240 years, under the First Amendment, or I mean the first article of the Constitution, says state legislatures shall determine the manner of elections, or those aren't the exact words, but how you hold elections and the conditions for people to vote or not vote. So most Republicans, in fact, I believe all Republicans, believe that if it ain't broke, you don't you don't have to fix it. And we want to leave it with the state legislatures according to what the Congress wants, or the state legislatures want to do when the Constitution requires. Now, Democrats have a different view. They want to do away with these state laws and have one federal law. But you can see why that wouldn't necessarily be the right thing to do, because if you have a bad law in one state, and maybe people vote and have irregularities, it affects the votes just in that state. And it doesn't affect the votes in Iowa, and doesn't dilute the votes in Iowa. But if you have one national law, and there's irregularities in Pennsylvania, then that's going to dilute the law in the state, or the vote in the state of Iowa. So that's why we don't want to change election laws. Charles City, and you'll be the last question.
All right, Senator, thank you very much. North Iowa Area Community College recently opened a career academy in Forest City. They're going to start another one in Charles City in 2023 to help prepare students for things like advanced manufacturing, agribusiness, building, electrical trades, information technology, healthcare. What are you hearing from leaders in those industries in terms of how badly they need those types of employees?
Oh, boy. You brought up one of the things that you can hardly... you know, during my 99 county tour, I visit a lot of businesses and answer questions for their employees. But one of the things the owner or the manager of the company tells me is exactly what you said, a shortage of employees. And this is going to be a godsend. It isn't going to solve this problem in the next year or two, but over the long period of time, this is going to make Iowa very productive and enhance the work of our the productivity of our workforce. And not only that, but this sort of training is going to help those people that maybe won't succeed in college, but they may go to college a year and then find out, well, college isn't for me, and then they've wasted a year, wasted a lot of money. It might get people on a track to have a productive life and a quality of life without going through some of the trauma that you go through to find out you can't succeed in college. And a community college is exactly the place for that to be done. I always say the most important word of the two words, community college, is community, not college. Because a community college like NIAC is a perfect example. And we've got, I think we have 13 of them, 13 more in Iowa, or maybe 14 more in Iowa. And we probably got 40 campuses around Iowa of those community colleges. And they can do anything that that community wants them to do. They're the most perfect organization to handle not only the employment problems that we have in Iowa, but almost anything that the community needs help with. So thank you all very much. Goodbye.
Thank you, Senator.
Thank you.
Thank you, Aaron and Mark, for joining today's program. This has been Senator Chuck Grassley reporting to the people of Iowa.